Triple M footy.
So he wants the switch.
Trade Tracker.
Triple M Trade Tracker, coming at you like Marlon Pickett's 360 degree look away spin. And I've got Tom Brown here. My name's Rudy Etzel. I've got Tommy Brown here. And we're just going to talk you through your club, each club's prognosis for the trade period and what's likely to come. We'll start off with Adelaide. We'll go alphabetically. And there's a fair bit of movement coming out of Adelaide. Looks like up to 10 guys could possibly leave. The Crouch brothers, Brad and Matt, Hugh Greenwood's already signed his intentions. Josh Jenkins, Rory Laird's possible, Eddie Bett, Sam Jacobs, Cam Ellis-Yolman, Alex Keith. What have you got for us, Tommy?
Rudy, there could be a few 360s, speaking of Pickett, during the trade period. But starting with Adelaide this morning, the interesting one for mine at the moment is Brad Crouch and what he wants from the Suns. I think he wants $1 million a year, keeping in mind, of course, that he becomes a free agent at the end of next year. And Adelaide would want a first or second pick from the Suns, as well as Luke Kocious. Now, there's no way the Suns are going to do that deal. I guess a better question would be whether Adelaide would take, say, for example, 14 or 20 and Luke Kocious, or 14 and 20 for Crouch. But the money's a big sticking point for the Suns, so I don't think Brad's Crouch to the Suns is done as yet. There's a bit to play out there. The other question, of course, I've raised there is Luke Kocious and whether he'd come back to Adelaide. I've got a feeling, Rudy, he'll recommit pretty soon to the Gold Coast. So, but as you touched on, there's an exodus at Adelaide. There's no other way to describe it. Up to 10 players. They're not going to get particularly huge picks for any of those players either. Perhaps bunched as a whole heap, they'll get some reasonable flexibility from it. In terms of Eddie Betts, I've got some doubts on him going to Carlton just at the minute, particularly if the Blues can land Papley as well as Martin. I think Betts might end up having to go perhaps to the Suns. There's more to play out there because I don't think Juddy and Stephen Silvani are particularly keen on going away from their core list strategy. So Adelaide, you to appoint a coach at the start of next week. I think Matthew Nix is a huge chance. When I mentioned Nix on our Friday night news last Friday, he was out of the markets, the betting markets. I don't think he was $26. He's now $2.75. So if that's anything to go by, he's certainly in the frame.
Yeah, fair enough. Josh Jenkins is an interesting one. Is there much love for him out there at the moment?
No, I spoke to his management yesterday. At this stage, no, but I wouldn't be surprised if clubs throw their hand on Jenkins deeper into the trade period. There's some talk of Geelong interest. And look, could you stick him in a pocket at Collingwood? They need some forward line structure. All those things to play out. The answer at this stage is no, but I wouldn't discount it.
Maybe the Cats can get him to play in the ruck. We know where Cam Ellis-Yolman and Alex Keith are going, Brisbane and the Dogs, respectively. Hugh Greenwood's obviously up to Sydney. Sam Jacobs going to...
Yeah, Greenwood
Suns.
Suns,
I should say, not Sydney. Sam Jacobs, Greater Western Sydney. Rory Laird, he's probably going to stay, isn't he?
I'd say, I think he'll stay. Yep. I'm actually not 100% across Laird's situation. I'll follow that up today.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Brisbane. There's some a little bit sort of surrounding guys like Tom Cutler and Nick Robertson who just can't get in the side. Lewis Taylor as well. But they're definitely bringing in Cam Ellis-Yolman, like we said. Cal Archie has asked for a trade up from the Gold Coast up the road there. And there's a little bit of chat about Grant Birchall.
Yeah, Grant Birchall, an interesting situation. Hawthorn's obviously given him permission to look at options. They can't guarantee him a list spot. Brisbane, that the guys that are prepared to go, Taylor, Cutler and Robertson, I guess it's just for opportunity. That's what happens when you've got a good side.
Yep, fair enough. Move on to Carlton. It looks like no one's leaving, but Jack Martin has requested to go there, and Tom Papley has also apparently said he wants in.
So the question for the Blues at this stage is how they fit in Papley, Betts and Martin. Papley and Martin are their key priorities. Starting with Papley, what would they have to give up for him? Well, you'd think that pick 8 or whatever that pick around there is. And the other issue is whether Sydney will let him go. My firm information this week is that the board of Sydney and the footy department of Sydney do not want to let Papley go. John Longmire's been telling people that. Having said that, if Joe Danaher, as we expect in the next day or so, does say that he would prefer a trade to Sydney, obviously Sydney would need that pick 8, you think, to get the Danaher deal done, the Papley pick in effect. So Carlton and Essendon very much intertwined on the Papley and Danaher front. As for Betts, he's not part of their list strategy, so if they go for him later in the proceedings, if you like, it'll be for pretty much minimum money around, say, $200,000 a year, which means Adelaide have to pay for a lot of that, and it wouldn't be for a very high pick. And it sounds like Martin's on as well. The other one is big Levi Casbolt. He's contracted until 2020. Carlton not prepared to extend that at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see if a club would offer Levi some more security. Having said that, I think Carlton like having the flexibility of having him around and wouldn't want to give him up for not much.
So. A lot of utility in being real tall, isn't there? Yeah. We'll move on to Collingwood. Brodie Grundy, I think that's probably not going to play out this period. Jamie Elliott looks like it probably is.
Yeah, we'll start with Grundy. He wants 7 years, as I've reported throughout the year.
Yep.
Collingwood at the moment offering 3. I think what could play out, though, Rudy, is that Grundy this week significantly has signified his intention to stay at Collingwood. He loves the place. So there's no doubt in my mind that Collingwood at the moment will start to look at 5 years plus some options for Grundy, meet him in the middle and see if that would placate him. Having said that, his management, that's Robbie D'Orazio and Paul Connors, they got 7 years for Tom Lynch, which set a standard when it comes to those longer-term deals. And there's no doubt that Grundy, in his mind, thinks he's worth a similar deal. He's one of the best players in the competition.
Absolutely.
Obviously confident in his body. In terms of the links back to Adelaide, he's not really talking about Adelaide at the moment. Having said that, his manager's made it very, very clear there are clubs prepared to give him 7 years. So I think Grundy will stay at Collingwood, certainly next year, more likely long term, but there's a bit to play out there. Jamie Elliott's the big one. He's got a decision in the next, 48 hours or so. His manager, Adam Ramanaskis, confirming this morning, Thursday morning, that they'd arrive at a decision perhaps by the end of the weekend. I think he's going away somewhere on Saturday, perhaps with his family. So it's basically between Collingwood at 2 years, Melbourne at 3 years, or possibly Hawthorn at 3 years. The Melbourne and Hawthorn deals would be a bit more money. Hawthorn's a bit speculative at this stage. Melbourne are also a bit constrained by the salary cap, a bit like Collingwood, so it wouldn't be ridiculous money to go to Melbourne. So I wouldn't be surprised if he stays at Collingwood. Having said that, it's not 100% certain.
Yeah, fair enough. Looks like they're probably going to get Darcy Cameron in, and there was some talk that Josh Jenkins might have been around the traps there. Let's move on to Essendon. This is a big one. Really? Joe Danaher and Orazio Fantasia both looking more and more likely to leave by the day.
I think Danaher at this stage this morning is more likely to leave than Fantasia. I'll start with Danaher. He didn't comment at the best and fairest. We haven't spotted him yesterday. There's no positive signs coming out of Danaher that he wants to stay at the Bombers, to be frank with you. Having said that, there's obviously a lot to play out. I think the discussion's going to turn to what the Bombers want for Danaher and what Sydney's prepared to give up for Danaher. It's difficult to know without intricate knowledge of his groin situation, but I'm told his body's still not right. He wants a club to get that groin right. That's his main consideration. He doesn't want it to cut short his career. He's only played a few games basically in 2 years. I don't think Sydney will give up 2 first-round picks for Joe Danaher. Essendon will want 2 first-round picks for Joe Danaher. There's going to be a lot of argy-bargy there.
Yep.
As for Fantasia, he's rehabbing each day at the Bombers. He hasn't officially requested a trade, at least when we're recording this on Thursday morning. There's still a chance he could stay at Essendon. He's undecided. He still hasn't officially appointed a new manager. So there's a real state of flux surrounding Fantasia just 4 days out from the trade period. You'd have to lean towards the optics pointing that he'll probably request a trade back to Port Adelaide. He's got a very passionate family that want him back in Adelaide. I think he's also got a girlfriend or a relatively new girlfriend that is, I think, from Adelaide. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But there's certainly a lure back to Adelaide at some point in time. But there's a chance he'll still remain at the Bombers next season.
Yep. And then it looks plausible, speaking of the power connection there, Dougal Howard and Sam Powell-Pepper have both been linked.
Yeah, plenty of clubs into Dougal Howard, including Collingwood, and Sam Powell-Pepper could be part of the Fantasia deal. Yeah. Having said that, I did a program last night talking trades with Brendan Goddard on 7 Mate, 7:30s throughout the trade period, and he threw up that perhaps Wines would be a fair swap for Fantasia. I would have thought that Essendon would definitely take that deal, put it that way.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Moving on to Freo, Fremantle, there's a fair bit to play out there. Bradley Hill is out the door. He's requested trade to St Kilda. Ed Langdon looks likely to head across as well. There's been some links to Sam Powell-Pepper because he's from WA. I'm not sure how much there is in that. And then they loom in this Tim Kelly trade out of Geelong, don't they? Because they have some very attractive assets to the Cats where West Coast possibly don't.
There's two factors in Fremantle's favour concerning Kelly. Firstly, they've got better picks, much better picks than West Coast to offer Geelong in return for Kelly. Also, there's the fact that Geelong would rather trade with Fremantle, no doubt, because Kelly next year with West Coast, you'd think Geelong would play them in the finals, and I wouldn't be too keen on trading Tim Kelly to West Coast just quietly. Mm. But so that would put Fremantle in some type of position. Having said that, there's a bit of history there. Fremantle overlooked Kelly back when he was younger, and I guess that might have had a lasting impression on him. He obviously was a very good player in his early 20s, kept getting knocked back, and he's probably like, I'm not going to you.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that, and that's just human nature. But a new regime at Fremantle, Peter Bell's obviously running the footy department, just Jason Longmuir has taken over as coach. I've absolutely no doubt that today they'd be getting their money together and their offer together and making Tim Kelly a very, very attractive offer to at least consider.
Yep, very much so. Speaking of Tim Kelly, we'll move on to Geelong. So he's already requested a trade to WA, preferably West Coast. He might be followed out the door by guys like Ryan Abbott, Wiley Buzzer. Zach Smith, I think, is pretty clearly not in Geelong's plans. There was a bit of chat about Charlie Constable, but Tim Kelly's the big one.
Yeah, Tim Kelly's the massive one for the Cats. So what the Cats are trying to do at the moment, obviously, is manage the Harry Taylor and Gary Ablett situation in terms of what they want to do. Taylor signalling yesterday, I think, through his management and some of the reports in the media,
likely
that he wants to play on.
Yep.
I think Gary Ablett is highly likely to play on. Pickers is rated at 60-40. That's Liam Pickering, his manager this week, that he will play on. There's a contract I reported in place, ready to go. Geelong want him to play on. We're just waiting on Gaz's decision. I think you can take it as a given that Gaz will decide that, I'd say, this week, which means they're effectively rolling the dice that are flagged with this older group next year. What they need then to do is use the Kelly picks, which they'll get, and that's why they'd rather get the good Fremantle ones, to bring in a player and either use that in the draft or use that to go and attract what they think is going to complement and round out them winning a flag. So a lot to play out with Geelong in the next few weeks. Jack Stephen could be the one. Officially, Jack Stephen, I think, is on a break at the moment away and hasn't made a decision on leaving St Kilda. I think you can take it as a given that he will try and leave St Kilda.
Yep.
But Stephen is a little bit of a complicated case. He's upside so massive. We know what a brilliant player he is, but he has had some personally difficult circumstances as well. So Geelong will just want to sound him out on all that.
Hard to pick a value for Stephen, isn't it? Because the value of Stephen is so much higher to Geelong than it is St Kilda. There was a bit of chat today that if he doesn't get a move, he might quit football. So it's,
I think he's a funny one, Jack, because Jack doesn't sort of love football. Like, he doesn't exist for football.
Yeah.
Having said that, he's a brilliant footballer at his best. So it's a very hard one to quantify. Lifestyle-wise, he's from Lawn. A lot of his mates are from Lawn. I think he wants to live on the Surf Coast. And I think the Geelong move makes a lot of sense. Having said that, they'll want to tick a lot of boxes.
Yep. Gold Coast now. Jack Martin, we sort of covered off a little bit. Cal Archie as well. You said Lukosius is likely to stay, so that not much happening in that space. Outs, really?
I think Lukosius is likely to stay. In will come, obviously, Ellis from Richmond, Hugh Greenwood from Adelaide, possibly Brad Crouch, although they don't want to pay overs for Brad Crouch, particularly given he comes out of free agency next year. The Gold Coast now have picks 1 and 2, obviously, in the draft. They said yesterday, look, we'd be open to trading those, but I can't think of any top players that would want to go there, let alone actually use those picks.
So seems like the play there is to just pick Rowell and Anderson in the draft. I'd have thought with the picks 1 and 2.
It's that aspect of their strategy is pretty straightforward, I would have thought.
Yeah. All right. GWS, normally big movers in this space outwards. This year, John Patton and Adam Tomlinson are pretty much already signed, sealed and delivered out to Hawthorn for Patton and I believe Melbourne for Tomlinson.
Yeah, so Patton, Hawthorn basically locked in. Tomlinson, Melbourne basically locked in. In has come Sam Jacobs from Adelaide in a ruck role. That also has to be worked out. From the Giants' perspective, I think Heath Shaw is definitely going to play on for an extra year. So they obviously think they're close. They've got significant salary cap issues, the Giants, with all their stars. They're not in a position to bring in any extra players.
Speaking of historical big players in the trade space, Hawthorn, they're welcoming John Patton. Sam Frost signaled his intention yesterday to go there. The Melbourne key back out. It looks possible that Grant Birchall will go. There's been a bit of enduring chat about Isaac Smith over the year. What do you think will happen there?
My information out of Hawthorn is that Smith will stay on the list and play at the Hawks next year. There's been some chat surrounding Smith all year. He was linked at one stage to the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs adamant they have never spoken about or in relation to Smith, particularly to him. So I think Smith will stay. Having said that, if his name popped up during the trade period, I wouldn't be entirely surprised.
Yep.
Birchall, it sounds like, is under pressure to retain his spot on the list. Pioppolo and Schoenmakers, I'd have to follow up. I must admit, I haven't tracked what's going on there.
Yeah, a little bit of there's just a little bit of chat. I don't think anything will happen there necessarily.
But it sounds like Hawthorn maybe also, possibly also into Jamie Elliott. Because they had the Canelio money, which they didn't obviously get Canelio, they'll have a significant crack at a free agent next year. So they've bolstered their defence.
Like Hawthorn, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've obviously got Patton who'll play alongside Mitch Lewis, so they're working on their forward line for the future. They'll have to get Patton fit, but they'll back themselves to do that with their formidable fitness department out there. And I would have thought for Clarko to win that flag, which he wants to by 2022, they'd have a fair crack at a free agent at the end of next year.
Knowing Hawthorn, you can just see John Patton winning the Coleman and Sam Frost and Norm Smith next year. let's move on. Melbourne, Sam Frost is out. They're going to bring Frio's Ed Langdon and Adam Tomlinson. that's all makes sense.
Yeah, I guess there'll be a discussion around the value of Sam Frost. It's hard because a lot of people reckon he turns the ball over and sort of butchers it a bit.
Yep.
Having said that, he finished 8th or 9th, if you take into account the tie and their best and fairest. So I would have thought it might be that pick 47 that Hawthorn's got, probably not pick 30. Melbourne won't be able to do a great deal with that. Obviously, in comes Ed Langdon, in comes Adam Tomlinson. Query whether that solves their forward line problem in terms of having to rely on some key players. But I'd say their biggest, most important recruit, Melbourne, will be their fitness department, getting that right, because they need Lever and May to really perform next year.
Yeah, big time. I was a bit surprised they didn't have more of a crack at Bradley Hill, actually, but then we'll move on. North Melbourne, they're always sort of there or thereabouts, but they don't ever seem to land a really big fish. They've got their name in the conversation for Jamie Elliott. There was a bit of chat about Tom Papley, but he's more or less, if he's going to go, it's the Carlton, by the sounds of things. And then there's a bit of chat about Mason Wood as well, possibly out the door.
Yeah, I think Wood, it seems like there's some doubt there. There was some discussion at one point that they might have thrown him up to Sydney as part of a Papley deal, but that didn't work out. I'm not sure about Ben McKay. As far as Elliott's concerned, look, there have been bit players in the Elliott thing at best. In fact, I don't think they've had any type of formal talks there at all. And they certainly would have had the money to chase him, but that hasn't transpired.
Yep.
And as for Papley, I reported that they were into him to the tune of $800,000 or $900,000. That's what my source suggested. I think North have to offer overs to players to get them in.
Yep.
There's two problems with that. A, they often don't get them, and B, I'm sure they've got other players that go, oh, hang on, if you were offering him that, what are
Where's
you paying
mine?
Me?
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of problems there. Look, I don't think it's I don't think there's anything wrong with reporting that maybe it was upwards of 700, but they made a significant offer, in my view, to Tom Papley. Certainly what my sources indicated, they haven't got him, and I think North's view still is they need to land a big fish to try and get more big fish to come. They were right in the race to perhaps use Graham Allen services at one stage to recruit players. He was close with Brad Scott. Allen, who's an off-field football person, went to St Kilda, and lo and behold, they've gone and landed the likes of Ryder and Hill and probably Zach Jones. So I reckon that North need to go and get someone that can land big players like him.
Yep. Move on to Port Adelaide. So we mentioned Sam Powell-Pepper. Paddy Ryder is pretty much locked to St Kilda. Billy Frampton is looking for a trade. Dougal Howard and Sam Gray, all sort of free to
explore
look for opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah, so Sam Powell-Pepper, free to explore options, has been linked to Essendon as the sort of midfielder that they might need. That might be part of the...
be a good get for Essendon. They need big bodies.
He could be part of the Fantasia situation. Paddy Ryder going to St Kilda. That was a choice between St Kilda and Essendon. He chose St Kilda after visiting Essendon. Didn't like the vibe of the place after spending time out there previously. Not sure about Frampton. Dougal Howe, there's plenty of clubs into him. This is a funny one because Port's going to say, oh, we want a big pick for Dougal Howard. And those clubs are going to say, well, if you rate him so much, why don't you give him a game?
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting discussion. Sam Gray would be a good pickup. And it looks like Fantasia could go to Port. But look, as it stands this morning, I wouldn't be entirely surprised if he stays at the Bombers.
Yep.
Having said that, all the signs point towards him going back to Port Adelaide.
Yes, as you have reported. Richmond, not much to report there. Brandon Ellis, long known he was going to Gold Coast. There's a little bit of chat about Dan Butler. They're definitely not looking to bring anyone in. Why would you with such a fantastic team and with the big fish they landed last year?
McIntosh is the one I'd be chasing there if I was a club interested in McIntosh. I don't think he was wrapped like usual. Any player in that circumstance would be about playing, I think, roughly 16 or 17 games, got dropped in about round 17, didn't play in the grand final.
Either grand final, didn't play in the VFL either. St Kilda is a big player this trade window. Josh Bruce is out the door. Jack Stevens likely, but they're bringing in Bradley Hill. They're bringing in Paddy Ryder. They're bringing in Zach Jones. So changes afoot at the Saints.
Yeah, and Brett Ratton sort of signaled this. He's very keen, I think, on pretty comprehensive list turnover. He doesn't want it to stand still. He sort of thinks to stand still would be to go backwards in this circumstance. So Hill will be a massive inclusion. Ryder will be, he's basically a backup ruckman, but he'll be an inclusion and help their emerging ruckman down there. I think Zach Jones, he's still officially undecided on leaving the Swans, but I think you can mark him down for St Kilda. Bruce, St Kilda will say they don't want to trade him, but I think he's going to the Bulldogs in terms of the offer the Bulldogs has made. That's on. Jack Stephen would be a loss. I think St Kilda's still holding out faint hope they could keep him. I think that's unlikely, and I don't know a lot about Dan McKenzie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on. Sydney, we mentioned Zach Jones. He's out. The Tom Papley trade is one of the big ones that will play out. He's still contracted till 2023, contract he signed yet?
Yeah, my information, Rudy, is that the Sydney board and the football department and John Longmire has been telling people this week they've got no plans to trade Papley. Now, whether that's a negotiating position or a rigidage like serious we're not moving sort of like position, I'm not sure yet. I expect that he'll eventually go, particularly if Danaher wants to go to the Swans, because I'll need that pick. And Sydney will try and bring in Joe Danaher. The big challenge there will be to get his body right.
Yeah. I think it's probably fair to say they probably won't have both Papley and Danaher on the list next year. West Coast, out. You linked Petrucelli and Duggan yesterday to Geelong a little bit. There's been a little bit of chat about maybe Gaff being part of the Tim Kelly trade, but the big one for them is landing Tim Kelly, how they get him in. The Cats, it's going to be draft picks by the sounds of things. The Cats really want picks, not players.
Yeah, picks, but West Coast don't have them, so either they'll have to group up the picks they've got, like, for example, 14 or 21, and try and trade it down with a Carlton to, say, for example, 9 or 10, and use that as part of the Kelly deal, or they'll have to use a player, Petrucelli and Duggan. I think Duggan's the more likely one, because I'm told overnight from a good source that Geelong's had interest in Duggan and like him for quite a while, so they rate him, so that might work. As for Gaff, I've spoken to his management. I'm told this week there's no way he will be traded from West Coast as part of the Kelly deal.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense to me. And then finally, we'll round it out with the Western Bulldogs. On the out front, there's been a little bit of chat about Tory Dixon. Hasn't had a contract offered to him yet.
No, that's still ongoing. Hasn't had a contract offered yet. Josh Bruce, obviously the big one. They've made him an attractive offer. They're obviously into Jack Martin, didn't get him. Alex Keith, the defender from Adelaide, they'll get him as well. It's just a matter of working out the deal. As for where that leaves the Bulldogs, well, I think they've got a tremendous amount of salary cap. So, see, Tom Boyd admit last night at their best and fairest that he gave $2 million
back.
$2 million back.
Yeah, or four went $2 million.
Four went $2 million.
They've got a fair bit to play with there, don't they?
Yeah, they've got plenty of money.
And all of a sudden, their spine looks a lot better with Bruce and Keith, doesn't it? You stick Bruce next to Aaron Norton, and then you can let Josh Shackey play on that forward flank, and they look very scary.
Yeah, Bruce and Keith, the sort of combination that has Will Anderson and plenty of Bulldogs fans, I think, pretty excited about potentially playing finals next year. They sort of look like they're a finals team this year. They just didn't quite get it right on a consistent basis, but it seems like they're going in the right direction.
They're absolutely in the window. That's pretty much enough from us here, I think. So that's your little preview to the trade period, which officially begins on Monday. Helter Skelter. Not much sleep for you, Tommy Brown. Ahead, I wouldn't have thought you'd be staking out various teams.
Coffee shops in Swan Street, coffee shops around the MCG at the Draft Combine, around the Etihad Concourse, where players are meeting, whether Essendon's going to take Danaher and Fantasia down for coffee like they did, like Dylan Shield did. Took Dylan Shield down in Elwood. Mate, there's plenty of, I need all the spies
all the,
I can
all
get.
All the Blues boys at a Sauces compound out there. And
if you see any of this, DM me on Instagram or Twitter, and I'll be sure to get there with a camera.
Yeah, if you see Tommy Brown around, buy the man a coffee, because he's going to need it. In fact, you know what? Better yet, buy him a phone charger, because he always needs those. That's been the Triple M Trade Tracker Preview. We'll keep in touch with you all through this trade period. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook to stay across it all. Listen to the Hot Breakfast for Tommy Brown's reports, and good luck to your club.
Thanks, Lee.